going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways we could show our appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, we're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why, this month only, we're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on us with a select trade-in and a new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as our way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. Now that's what we call a celebration, because we're proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card sent within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on Unlimited Ultimate or Postpaid Unlimited Plus. Minimum plan $80 a month with autopay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome once again to the 200-and-something episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I am not your usual host, DJ, the man with the award-winning beard. He is on assignment off in Rockville, experiencing some of the best rock and roll that the United States has ever seen. We look forward to his report next week. I am the man for the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window, thrown through by said tag team partner. I am Jason, and I am proud and happy to be a temporary host while DJ is on assignment. And of course, I am always accompanied by, as well as Bucky, I am accompanied by the man, the host of the Robin Genius Podcast, the man. I've got nothing, man. I was in the flow.
It's okay.
He's Ray Cash's daddy. That's the most important thing. As long as we get in there.
Yes.
Ray Cash's daddy. Rob, how you doing, buddy?
Okay, and the theme for this week's episode is fucked by technology.
Yeah, so we will not go into all the details of this, but two millennial men who grew up with technology were utterly confounded by technology in the last hour. So,
yes.
You know what, kids? It's okay.
Yeah.
Because the best part is you just roll with it, you figure it out, and you do your best. Because we have a lot to talk about. We had a wonderful PLE that I missed the pre-show for because I was off on assignment. But I'm back, and I'm wonderfully excited to talk about it with my friends. Or my friend, in this case. But Rob, what were your first thoughts just walking out, shutting off Backlash?
Okay.
When you shut off Backlash and you were just like, what was your grade in your mind? Were you excited for the next 6 months of programming? Were you just happy that one thing happened? What was your immediate thought?
Okay, my immediate thought was that it was the best executed PLE this year, because all the other ones, there was at least one thing that just made it hard to get through at some points. Either they were overloaded with ads, or they had too much dadgum product placement, or they had some long ass talking segment or something or other.
Even if there was one match that was just like,
yeah,
this could have been a Raw
back then. Yeah, because like even the Royal Rumble, I mean, that tag team match they had, it was like, really? And then.
This could have been.
Yeah, and then, you know.
Wait, are you talking about the TLC match?
No, the one that had the Royal Rumble with the machine guns and DIY.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about the SmackDown.
Oh, no, 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 no. That one should have been on PLE, right? But
well, hang on, Rob. I'll say it again. I said it every time this brought up. When in the last 5 years of what they've been trying to do of making WrestleMania basically a 2 week experience, ending the 2 week experience with that fucking extravaganza. If that's how you're going to do it, and you're going to actually make it a whole 2 week experience every single year, that was fucking awesome. Now, if you could get back to just like actually, it's just gonna be pre-show shit and undercard and bullshit, and then we're gonna stuff the actual WrestleMania quality stuff into those 2 or 3 or 4 days, then no. But if again, if you're going to make it this, you know, Mardi Gras week or whatever of WrestleMania, that was the best way to do it. And I'm sorry that it happened that it made, you know, them not get on the WrestleMania card. But at the same time, I feel like that was a better spot. Sorry, that was my two cents on the that TLC match.
Well, in this case, I mean, they did fucking Clash of Clans sponsorship match. I mean, you know, yeah, that I mean, that's the thing. Like, if it, okay, if
sorry, the worst thing about that was them doing sponsor matches. Like, it was Drew McIntyre comes out in fucking, yeah, whatever you think of Doom or whatever you think of cosplay, whatever, I don't care. But he came out in a good looking Doom Slayer outfit. Like, that dude looked like he could have walked onto a, maybe not a Hollywood set, but definitely like a CW set of the Doom game. Meanwhile, dude, the Viking Raiders coming out in like the tin hats and the Clash of Clans shit. Like, I get it, because that's what Clash of Clans looks like. But it's bad when their Viking gear looks better than the, you know, the actual, the commercial Viking gear. And also, when you do that shit on the same night you did Drew McIntyre the Doom Slayer, we go, they're not the same.
Yeah, and for me, so, I guess just for me, I would have rather them had the TLC match at WrestleMania, because I mean, it would have been value added. Put it this way, having that match at WrestleMania, you know, would have made.
It's an additive.
Yeah, it would have made, because we gave WrestleMania a C. If they had put that match on there, that would have made, like, we probably would have gotten a B.
Dude, that was on. That would have been a 4-letter grade up.
Yes.
So, you're right.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, if somebody else told me I was right. If somebody else.
That was a great. If you're going to make this Mardi Gras week, that was a great final note. Because that was the main event of SmackDown after Raw, right?
Yes. So
that was really, really, really. It was not the main event of WrestleMania, but it was the main event of WrestleMania season.
I guess. I guess.
Would you rather have been, I don't know, Candice LeRae and somebody in some match? Or, like, I don't know, MJF. Who's big head boy? You know, JD McDonagh versus, like, Drew McIntyre in the main event? Like, would that have been better to cap off WrestleMania week?
I mean, okay, well, the Raw after WrestleMania, they closed with the whole thing with Seth and Braun beating up, you know, Punk and Roman. So,
yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, so, I mean, the SmackDown after WrestleMania, you could have started your, you know, whatever, like, your next big SmackDown angle, you could have started it then. I think they kicked off the show with that, I think, because they kicked off the show with Randy and Cena.
Right, I was gonna say, they kicked off the show with Randy, so,
Well, I just.
And as it says, with that story, does that story really make. Does Randy really wait for 7:45 or whatever to come out and say what he has to say?
No, but.
Is that what the character does?
No.
No!
But I guess the other thing is that the third hour of SmackDown is where shit. I mean, just.
It's bad.
Well, it's just because. It's the third hour on a Friday. And
so far, I would tell you, first off, every single week I have to remind myself that, holy shit, SmackDown's 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still not used to that, first of all, because it's fucking Friday night.
Yeah.
I'm an adult with a wife and at least 4 friends. So, like, I have shit to do.
So there's that. And it's just, well, you're, because of that, because the audience number nosedives, you're like...
Is that factual, by the way?
Yes, it, yeah, because they...
It's worse than Raw?
Oh, yeah, because it's... Yes, because it's Friday.
All right, Rob, do your numbers thing. Let me know.
Okay, well, because... All right, because... the third hour, just it goes to die. And it's... I mean, we're talking like... Oh, let me... Because I actually haven't... They haven't been... Whatever source WrestleNomics had for the quarter hours for SmackDown, cut them off. So,
well, that's too bad.
But they.
Well, Rob looks that up. I would just say that. Look, it's they'll find their footing with SmackDown being 3 hours. They will, and one thing that will definitely help is going to be, I'm assuming, some sort of draft or some sort of shakeup or some sort of whatever.
Well,
you just gotta filter things out.
Well,
once those things happen, things tend to get in order. Like, we've seen this happen before, even as much as I want to be, like, that fan and, like, oh, this sucks and blah, blah, blah. We've seen this happen before where there's a big talent and or time allocation upheaval, and it takes them a couple of weeks to get going.
Okay.
Like, granted, it's been more than a couple of weeks at this point, but even still.
Okay, so what?
I think I'm going to be a little generous to him. Rob, go ahead.
Okay, well, because actually, okay, so they're going back to 2 hours, like, this summer. So it's not even a permanent thing. But okay, now that I have some numbers in front of me, I had to consult the research department really quickly. So we're talking like a 200,000 person drop off from in the third hour.
That's just from your scratch pad and stuff. That's way worse than Raw, right? Like, they used to lose in that third hour. They used to lose like 50 to 100, depending on what was the
depending. Just.
Don't get me wrong, they lost between, you know, hour one and hour three, they lost 150. But, because that's just how it goes. But I don't think it's been that steep in a long time.
Yeah, because, so, Raw would lose like 200,000 people from hour one to hour three, okay?
But also, you have to keep into account, they're going to check in the end of the Monday Night Football
game. Right.
They're going to check in, like, this
yes.
and that and whatnot. And don't get me wrong, things like that are happening. This is the NBA playoffs, guys, the NHL playoffs. Things like that are happening because, you know, I've done it. I'm going to go check out the end of the East Coast game so I can see the beginning of the West Coast game for either the NHL or the NFL or NBA.
Yeah. So
it's not. We're not sitting here saying the sky is falling, guys.
No, but so basically. The numbers they did have for January, when there was like nothing up against them, and it's just okay. My point is that they put the TLC match on during the third hour, and the third hour SmackDown now there's because the third hour it's a big drop off, so you didn't put it as much, and you didn't put it in front of the biggest audience you could possibly put it in front of. That's my point. Whereas if you put it on WrestleMania, you would have had a much bigger audience of people seeing that match, which very well that might be match of the year when we're all said and done, right? And dumping it in the third hour of on Friday night, and then when the WrestleMania card itself ended up just being like a C level card, you know, that we graded it, you know. But we're talking about Backlash, so sorry. Yes. Okay, so yeah, so so my
point,
I'm sorry, my point was just this was start to finish, this was to me their best executed show of the year so far.
You know why, Rob? You know why? The ultimate reason. Like, we can talk about how great the card was and how great the matches were and how great the everything was. But you know what the best part about this show was?
No.
It was 2.5 hours.
Yes. And
in, out, we got everything done we needed to. We didn't pack this card with 15 fucking things because we can get to other stuff later.
Yes.
5 matches, and we just got through them. It was amazing.
Yes.
So that's the number one thing that I want to stay right at the top before we get through this card. But we are going to get through this card, and we are going to show, and it's appropriate that we were, you know, talking about SmackDown, because the first match on this card was the mid-card championship that is defended on SmackDown. The WWE United States Championship was defended in a fatal four-way match. Jacob Fatu defended his title against LA Knight, yeah, Damian Priest, and Drew McIntyre. Jacob Fatu won this match. Jacob Fatu, this was like, okay, Drew and Damian and maybe not LA, but Drew and Damian are not what I would call in the wrestling universe meaty men. But they do love to bump meat. And these guys, all four of them, LA Knight included, they bump meat. And it's also because Jacob Fatu was there trying to bump it. But holy shit, Jacob Fatu is in a perfect, like, I'm going to just say this and let you go, Rob. Jacob Fatu is in the perfect, perfect spot. Like, I don't see him yet. And honestly, I see him as like a Kane or an Undertaker. Like, he's not ever going to live in the world title picture. He is going to live in the upper card, like, eventually. And he will be that guy who is just this immovable force, unstoppable object, whatever you want to call him. Just like Kane, just like Taker, just like all these big dudes who you can fit him wherever you want, but don't put him in the world title picture like Roman or like Goldberg or like these guys or like Kane. Unless you're going to make it meaningful. So, I think he's doing awesome. And this is a perfect place for him to live for now. Rob.
Yes. And let me just say, I have never seen, maybe not never is probably a strong word, but the way he just puts together like a sequence of things, how he just goes from 1, 2 to 3 and doesn't stop. Like, he doesn't have to...
When you talk about big guys moving like cruiserweights, it's not just how they do the moves. It's how they get from one move to the other.
Yeah.
In that regard, he does... From what I've watched of current wrestlers that I've watched on my television, I have not walked through the 5,000 years of wrestling. But as far as a big dude moving like a little dude, he's one of the best that has ever done it.
Yes. And, I mean, like, there's, like, no wasted motion. Like, he just goes from, you know, a drop kick to a Samoan drop and then up to the top rope and a leg drop or something. He just, like, he doesn't stop. And
this pop-up Samoan drop doesn't even look fair.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look natural. It look, that's like even the werewolfiest moonsault ever, like not even that looks as fucking butter smooth as his pop-up Samoan drop. And again, much like how he functions as a person, that move should not look smooth. It shouldn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
I mean, he puts stuff together like you're doing like a video game combination, like a button combination. And It's, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And even like some of the cruiserweight guys who do those sequences, a lot of them have to stop and reset or whatever halfway through it. And, you know, he just goes through all of it. And it's, I mean, it's insane.
Or even they do little things that make them, like, look like they're not, you know, taking their time, but they are. Like, they'll get up to the top rope, and then they'll, you know, look to the left, and look to the right, and then look forward, and then do their thing. And I'm like, you're just getting your equilibrium back. You're not actually, like, yes, they're doing the acting job, but, like, they're also serving themselves. Jacob does not, man. He's just like, okay, yep, pop up some arm drop, and I'm immediately, before he hit, the victim hits the canvas, he's moving towards the turnbuckle. It's insane.
Yeah, and so it makes all of that stuff just look better, you know, because one of our constant critiques with, you know, doing a lot of the flippy-doo work rate kind of stuff is that there's always some stuff that just takes too damn long. And
right.
And he never takes too long. Like,
Rob, the video game analogy you did is perfect, because that's how I operate in a video game when I have all my meters full and my specials and all that shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, guess what? I am not going to let you... excuse me. I am not going to let you breathe. I am not going to let you, you know, think for a second. I am just going to do move, then super move, then super move, then super move. And that's what this dude does. It's insane.
Yeah. And, I mean, it really is. I mean, man. And,
what do you think of my idea of him? Where does he live? Like, from a year from now, where does he live?
Honestly, I think you might be onto something there. I think because he is one of those guys, if you put the world title on him, it's, however you take it off of him, it's going to suck. Yeah, I mean, I think he is one of those guys where...
That actually didn't suck, because...
Oh, yeah.
Roman was the champion when... Oh, yeah, so, yeah, because then The Fiend took it off him.
And
Braun was the Universal Champion, and that stunk.
Yeah, and speaking of which, I mean, and The Fiend is another example of that, where... Like there's no good way to take the belt off of him once he has it.
Put the title on him, unless literally before you put the title on him, you have it written in pen at WrestleMania, this guy will take the title off of The Fiend. Like you can't just be like, yeah, we'll put the title on him and figure it out. Nope. Sure can't.
Yeah. And so I mean, you could just, you could do the cheap, easy thing and just, you know, have him in a three-way or four-way match and have one of the other guys get pinned, you know, I mean.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could do that. I mean, but...
But when you set up the beef like that, don't you want the whole... Listen, I'm sorry. The whole point of WrestleMania and this, like, you know, what we enjoy about this... It all boils down to the knight slaying the dragon. The knight does not get the most out of slaying the dragon if he kills the dragon by slaying someone else.
Right.
You know, so when you build up that Kane or that Braun Strowman or that Fiend, if someone else gets pinned to lose their title, it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah. But... Man, he is just phenomenal to watch. And yeah,
he doesn't do too much on the mic. He's like LA Knight or just any of these dudes who are just fucking awesome at it. He's like got six catchphrases. He interchanges them and he can get between them. That's it. That's literally the formula. And he makes it awesome every single week. Nah, I mean.
Yeah, and it, but in his case, it sounds, he sounds like he's, that's how he actually talks, right?
Yeah.
Because usually, I mean, guys who have a bunch of catchphrases, a lot of times, you know, it sounds like, even if they're really good at it, it can sound like,
yep.
It sounds like they're saying catchphrases, right?
Yeah.
Like, he sounds like that's how he actually talks. I mean, so, you know.
From what little I've seen of him in real life or in interview situations, that is how he talks.
Yeah. So, I mean, it helps.
And, like, just hearing how he talks in interviews and stuff, I'm like, yeah, if he wanted to beat the shit out of me, yes, he would exactly sound like this.
So, yes.
Again, it's... So, final point on Jacob, at least mine, and then I'll let you go, Rob. He's dialing up to 11, bro. Just take your actual personality and your actual personage and dial it up to 11, and the dude is just cruising. So, Rob, any final thoughts on Jacob or LA Knight or Damian Priest or Drew McIntyre?
Well, we got to mention Jeff Cobb. So... You know.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe we didn't even. Wow. So the match ended with Solo coming out and distracting everybody, and Solo had a friend, and Solo had Jeff Cobb, you know, formerly of MLW and many other promotions, last I believe seen in MLW 2024. He's been in the wind since.
He was in New Japan. He's been in Ring of Honor. He's been everywhere.
Oh no! I mean, yeah, he's been everywhere, literally. And but I think his last like wrestling match was in MLW in 2024. I think, unless Wikipedia is lying to me.
Oh, because I think he was in New Japan. I have no idea, but there was. Yeah. But he's been everywhere, man. He's been everywhere but WWE, basically. And now he's there.
In front of my face, yeah, I've seen him at a couple of shows. I've been lucky enough to see him at a couple of shows. And much... Yeah, dude. He's one of those guys that I've always been like, yep, he'll get to the E eventually. Like, he's just... He gets it. He gets it all. He gets the aura, the persona, the playing a character, the whole nine. Like, yeah, he hasn't been given, like, a super complex character to play at any time. But he is a great professional wrestler.
Yes.
Like, I can't wait to see what this dude does. And I can't wait to see what the Timu Bloodline does. So... Rob, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah, just, that was, yeah, man, I can't say enough about Jacob. He's just outstanding.
Yeah, Tour of the Islands, I can't wait.
Yep.
So, next up, we have the Ladies Intercontinental Championship was contested between Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyria. This match was way better than I thought it was going to be, and... Lyra won.
Yeah.
You got the whole, you know, roll up and, oh, you thought you were going to roll me up, but I'm going to roll you up. Yeah, boom. 1, 2, 3, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How's this going to end?
Okay. I think it should end with Lyra being champion. Now, do I think... Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. I think at some point, like, Becky probably should take the belt from her, and then I mean, for maximum effect, if you're trying to use this whole thing to try and make Lyra into a thing,
yep.
Then I think ideally, you would have Becky beat her at some point, and then have her win the belt back from Becky.
Becky wins, you have her. When Becky wins, you have Becky cheat and lie and steal and just fucking.
Yes.
Like, I'm talking like Gooch shot followed by a roll up, followed by a poke to the eye, followed by a like chair shot. Like, you make it unequivocally clear that Lyra got fucked.
Yeah, I think so. For maximum effect, I would do that, and then
when Bayley comes out as the equalizer in the rematch for the title, which will eventually happen.
Yeah, and then
Becky getting, you know, whatever, Bayley coming out and equalizing it, that pill goes down a lot smoother when Lyra got fucked.
Yes. So I think for maximum effect, you need to do something like that. Obviously, they're not finished, but I think if you don't do a title switch, you won't get maximum effect out of this. Because if you just do another match and then Lyra wins that one and it's over, then you're not getting maximum effect out of it. Because ultimately,
well, even if you do okay, maybe they just shorten our story and say Becky doesn't actually win, but she cheats a bunch of times, and then the last time she cheats, Bayley comes out and prevents that actual cheating. She doesn't, you know, stun Becky or anything like that. She just, like, grabs the ref's hand or, like, you know, scoots the chair that she used into the ring or whatever. Said, hey, ref, she's cheating. I feel like that would be a little bit better if you make it look like Becky was absolutely positively going to win and then Bayley prevented it, that's fine. But I don't trust them to do that, so it's like just do the cheat to win and, you know, let her have the title for 2 weeks.
Yeah, because I think, if their goal is to make Lyra into a thing, then you got to put her through some adversity and some up and down and then have her emerge victorious at the end of it. Right. Because if you just keep it short and then they do like a no DQ match or something and then she wins that one too, then you're not going to get maximum effect because ultimately, ultimately, she's going to get judged on how she does after this is over, right? Like, can you, after this is over, will you be able to have her be, like, the main character of a story, right? That's, and, you know, can you have, after this is over, can you have Lyra feud with Roxanne later on this year and have that just be its own thing and have it, right? Can you, that's the real test. Because if you can't...
In my mind, and I'm way too involved in this because I'm doing a wrestling podcast right now. But in my mind, and go back and check the audio, I've been like, I don't get it with Louis Lyra. I'm like, I get what they're trying to do, but I don't quite get it. Nothing's there. Like, she has the entrance, she has the music, she has everything, but like, she's not there. I feel like they successfully got her. I don't think she's any sort of like superstar at this point, but they've successfully got her there where it's, yes, of course the fans are participating with her entrance. Of course, you know, she's well liked, and like, I think they've got her there. So what's to say she can't keep going, you know?
Yeah. And so, but okay, I'm in back in WCW. Okay, there was time Dean Malenko feuded with Chris Jericho. Now, Dean Malenko was the ultimate great wrestler guy. And when
Jericho was a sports entertainer.
Yes, and so when he feuded with Chris Jericho, you know, he got loud pops and, you know, and all that stuff, right? And the crowd was into it, and they wanted to see him beat Chris Jericho. And when he wrestled Eddie Guerrero, right, you know, the crowd was into it and all of that. But later on, when you got him away from those guys, it was like, oh, Dean Malenko, great. So, you know, the question with Lyra is going to be, after this is over, and she's not feuding with Becky, and when they have her feuding with somebody else, who's not Becky, right? Will people actually be interested in that? And that's the ultimate test. And we won't know that until later on this year. But I think a lot of that depends on how they book this feud, right? I just think a lot of it just depends on how they book this and whether or not she gets to go through a full range of, you know, twists and turns and story stuff and everything. I think that will, you know, that will, I think, ultimately help determine, like, what role she's going to be in later or long term, right? But they're off to an excellent start here. So,
lastly, I tell her is embrace the vertebrae thing.
Yeah, go do it.
The train has left the station.
You better.
You are the bird lady.
Yep.
And listen to me very carefully. This next part. The woo, woo, woo thing during her entrance. If people were making fun of you, it would have stopped 2 months ago.
So
people are enjoying your work. But hey, you've got an entrance. Like you have your and you have everything else. Obviously he's the Intercontinental Champion, and like you've got to this point. I understand you might not like the Bird Lady thing, but you know what? I have 100%, like aside from a few times tongue in cheek, I have 100% used that as a term of endearment.
Well,
so at this point, you just gotta take it.
And look, you know, I mean, she's not the Red Rooster, okay? I mean,
No.
I mean, but you know, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, she's not. This isn't Coco Beware, the Birdman,
Marilyn put it really well. Like, she's trying to evoke a Morgana sort of thing, like from Arthurian legend. Like, and it's working if you get it. Like, it is 100% working if you understand it. And if you don't understand it, it's still fucking working. So, people might think it's silly, but they're having fun. And it's not at your expense, I promise.
Yeah,
like,
so.
That's the only thing.
Right, so. Be the Bird Lady and just. Do it. Don't remember, because like I said, you're not the Red Rooster. You're not the Gobbledygooker. There's nothing silly like that. But people were.
And again, fan participation in your entrance.
Yeah.
Is insanely important.
Yes.
Because if fans don't give a shit, they're not doing it.
Yeah. And so.
Like, straight up.
Yeah. And so just.
Or it's just so catchy. It gets in their stupid, dumb brains. And they just. As soon as they hear it, it's a Pavlovian thing, even if there's like, this guy sucks right now. Like, sorry.
But you know what? I mean.
You're just a song, kid!
I know. But,
that's the best line CM Punk has ever used.
Oh, see. Alright, so, and so that brings us to. Match number three.
Yeah, we'll go to Dominic Mysterio defending his Intercontinental Championship against Penta. And Dominic Mysterio defeated Penta. I am so happy. I thought they were going to just do the easy thing and do the thing to make people happy. But no. And Dom's cruising. Man, like, Rob, what do you think of the thing people are talking about of eventually turning Dom baby?
I mean,
my thing is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I mean, because I know people are cheering him now, but
it's ironic cheering, man.
Yeah, it's you deserve it cheering. It's because he's been doing such a good job for the last couple of years.
It's Seth Architect. It's like, it's all those guys who are just like, yeah, you're somebody we love and you're a bad guy and we don't care.
Yeah.
Like the tribal chief.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I would keep him bad. I mean, because...
Well, he as a performer is obviously very comfortable being bad.
Yeah.
He's gotten only more comfortable.
And... So, you're right.
If it ain't broke.
Right. And then also, you know, he embraces being bad. He's not doing the whole, well, I'm supposed to be a heel, but I want them to cheer for me. I'm gonna do stuff to make them.
Dude, he's doing like pseudo reality stuff, like talking about, like, he's not referring to them as such, but he like kind of almost talks about like Liv as his girlfriend and his wife as his wife. Like, he's...
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he's, like, some two-timer or whatever fucking bullshit. But, like, he's walking the line of reality and kayfabe as perfectly as I've seen someone doing it in this day and age.
Yeah. And so I think you stick with it. And just, the trick would just be, well, at some point you have to have him do some... You have to find some new kind of dastardly stuff for him to do. So you have to find some.
Honestly, occasionally you have to have he has to get his ass beat.
Yeah. But,
And as soon as his ass beatings start to lose the steam, that's when you think about turning him. But other than that, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not Triple H. I'm not Paul Heyman. But keep it going, man.
Yeah, and then also, I mean, if you turn him babyface, like, you have to find, can he play a virtuous character, right? Because the last time we saw that, it was when it stunk, right? I mean,
No, that doesn't count. The last time we saw that, he was Rey's son.
Yeah, true.
So, he, like, Rey's son, next to Rey, is never, ever going to be, like, anything other than the white meat, squeaky clean baby face. And I don't think that's where Dom will land if he does transition into from heel to baby face.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
All right. So let's move on to...
Okay.
Holy shit. They were... Dudes beating the fuck out of each other. Gunther was in a singles match against Pat McAfee. And you know what? God bless. This match was everything I wanted it to be. It was Pat got his shit in. Gunther destroyed him. Pat got his shit in again. Gunther put him down. Not the handshake. They didn't give the handshake, but the nod. I think this was a perfectly awesome one-time thing, whatever. Perfect for Backlash. Rob?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, I like, when the kind of the thing with him and Michael, when Michael Cole tried to help him, I thought that was good. The only thing I didn't like... after it was over, the whole Pat standing tall thing. No, dude, you should have laid there and sold the choke out.
You sold the choke out. That's important. But also, I think the nod and the like, not quite handshake, the gesture from Gunther was important.
Yeah, I personally didn't like it.
It's important. Again, I think it's important to the guys who don't. Again, it's important to the nanas and the kids. It's like they don't watch it like we do. We're like, oh yeah, it's Pat. Like he's the like we look at it like a we are the writers and we're like, oh yeah, he's a commentator. Like no one will actually care down the road or whatever. But they put a little bit more thought into this than we would have. You know?
Yeah, I guess personally, I wasn't I wasn't too big on that. I mean. But that's me. I'm perfectly fine saying that that's me, and it's not a bad thing on their part to have done it that way. It's just personally.
One last question about that, specifically, could that be the start of some sort of babyface turn for Gunther?
Maybe.
Just think about it. Look at the world champions. Look at where we want Gunther to be. If Gunther was going to challenge these folks, wouldn't he have to be a babyface?
Well, okay.
He's not gonna take it from Jay. Like,
no.
So I'm thinking whoever takes it from Jay, which I don't think is gonna. I love you, everybody, but Jay's not getting past SummerSlam.
No, and I think.
And then you look at the opposite. You know, the World Heavyweight Championship. Like, yeah, I guess they could get one of Cena's dates. Yeah, one of Cena's dates that Gunther does not win is against Gunther. Babyface Gunther against Evil Cena. Yes. Give that to me immediately, right now. Rob, don't even start to complain or I will be...
Oh! I'm not complaining. I don't quite see the vision that like you do on that.
Rob.
Yes. Yes.
You have John Cena until December 31st, 2025.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So do you want Gunther in the ring with John Cena once, or do you want Gunther in the ring with John Cena zero times?
I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't thinking about it, to be honest. It wasn't on my mind. It did not cross my mind at all.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough.
Okay.
If it's on the table, what do you think?
Sure. I mean,
the answer is no shit, of course.
I mean, okay. Okay, if they are thinking about doing it, then yes, do it. Right?
If they're thinking about doing that, they're thinking about turning him, which means the little head nod to Pat and whatever is a actual pretty awesome place to start that turn.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I know you hated it. You wanted Pat to lie in the middle of the ring, complaining about how his spine is broken, his neck hurts, and blah, 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 and you wanted him to get backboarded out of there and whatnot. And I agree with you. Gunther is going to stay. No, I know you're laughing, but like, I agree with you. If he's going to stay being the fucking the ring general, then yeah, you want him just powerbomb Pat through the mat, pin him, and then just fucking leave. And leave Pat to sit there for 15 minutes. But as soon as that part happened, I went, are they turning him baby? So,
I don't see a long-term thing with
John
him
as... Cena, I do. John Cena versus Gunther. That's it.
Okay. Look, if they do it, then obviously, look, if they do that, then I'm here for it. It just was not a thing that crossed my mind at all. It just wasn't. So we'll see where it goes.
Fair enough.
Because right now, I mean, you know, the dirt sheet rumors are, which may be complete bullshit for all we know.
Wow! The dirt sheet rumors may or may not be complete bullshit. Thank you, Rob.
I mean, well. You know, I mean, you know. Well.
So what are the dirt sheet rumors, Rob?
Did he's gonna be Goldberg's retirement match? Okay.
Oh yeah, I did hear that.
I don't know.
Whatever.
We'll see. If they do it, they do it.
The only time, let's live in that weird world for a little while. The only time I saw someone posit this, and I can't remember who it was. It was a wrestling luminary, but I will accept that if Gunther beats Goldberg with a jackhammer and then continues to use the jackhammer. Because that dude does need a final, the powerbomb symphony just doesn't work. He doesn't do it anymore. He does the powerbomb thing. Like, it's just... Yeah, you can reset that thing. But wouldn't that be an awesome thing to give him? Just give him the jackhammer. I said that about Roman for a long time because Roman hasn't had it, still doesn't have a slam finisher, you know. And good God, could that guy use one? So yeah. Excuse me. I think Gunther stealing the jackhammer would be worth the price of admission.
So,
excuse me. Speaking of that, sorry guys.
You okay there, buddy?
I'm dying. Speaking of Gunther and John Cena defended his undisputed WWE Championship against one Randy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways we could show our appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, we're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why, this month only, we're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on us, with a select trade-in and a new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as our way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. Now that's what we call a celebration, because we're proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card sent within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on Unlimited Ultimate or postpaid Unlimited Plus. Minimum plan $80 a month with autopay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.
Too many tools, too much stress, and way too many bills. Odoo replaces it all. One connected platform for every part of your business, so you can work faster, smarter, and for less. Odoo, the only software you'll ever need. Try it free today at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
In the main event of Backlash.
Yes.
And my God, these guys put on a classic. Obviously, we know with 25 years of history and multiple WrestleMania, you know, appearances and main events and blah, 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 these guys are obviously going to fight like Doomsday and Superman. Well, holy shit, they did. So we've been trying to keep track on the Mindless Wrestling podcast of our match of the year. I said at the beginning of the year, why don't we do this and hand off our personal match of the year like a title belt, you know, like just keep track. So my match of the year was, until Sunday, Roman Reigns regaining the Ulafala on Monday Night Raw on Netflix on their first show. It was perfect. It was amazing. It was a great match. It was the drama. It was everything you needed. This match with Randy and John, obviously with 20 years more history, exceeded that match in every expectation whatsoever. These guys beat the ever-loving shit out of each other. They stole each other's finishers. They called back to their previous matches. They did everything that you would want them to do. Big John won the match. But, like, this was everything we expected. Like, even in our little, like, fantasy book or hearts. And also, my favorite thing about it is, look, Randy just got back. They're both healthy. We have John till December. but let's just fucking do it. They got it. They got it done. It was perfect. Like, unless Randy is somehow going to take that title from John, and that's the story, get this shit done right away. And they got it done, and it was fucking awesome. So I have very little complaints about this. Robert.
Oh, I thought I really enjoyed it. And like you said, they did all the callbacks and everything. And nah, I did. I got.
Did Cena hit it, RKO?
I think he did. And I got, now I got to pat myself on the back here because I called R-Truth interfering. Or
you did. It is on our audio, I believe. He called R-Truth as the make or break of this match.
Yeah, and I didn't, I might not have said it, but I did think it was possibly like going to be a kind of a inadvertent kind of thing, which it turned out to be, because
I will say that whether he said it on podcast audio or not, Rob said it to us in our little Discord chat, R-Truth will be the reason John Cena wins. Whether he intends it or not, whether he thinks John's a good guy and he tries to help John and somehow doesn't but actually does or whatever. Yeah, so Rob had this, like, cold.
Well, thank you. And, man. Yeah, it was everything that we were expecting it to be. And they did it one more time. And, you know, and then you added in like the post thing at the press conference. And finally, you know, the post-show press conference finally was worth a damn. You know, because of the... Well, they did this thing with Cena, gave him the AA on the table. At least there was something.
Yeah.
Because normally... Look, I'm not a fan of the post-show press conference things because, well, at least the WWE ones, you basically get nothing unless somebody asks Triple H one of those awkward questions and he gives some bullshit-ass answer.
Right? Or Jay and Cody are drunk.
Right, that's the only time, right?
No, I'm sorry, I'm going to be that guy. Jay and Cody were pretending to be drunk.
Really?
I think so. Okay. Like, there's no way, man. That main event, it was, what? The main event was, you know, 12 o'clock, and they were out there at, like, what, 12:30?
Yeah.
But they were already, like, fucking, no human is like that.
But anyway. But, I mean, yeah.
Really, I know, because I know how to get drunk.
Oh, it's you and me both, brother. But, it's just one of those things. Yeah. They usually, if something interesting happens at one of those press conferences, it's usually for the wrong reasons. Like, you know, our buddy, Mr. Brooks, you know, you know, but yeah, I mean, yeah, this was everything we were hoping for. And it was over by 9:45. Which means we got out of there in under 3 hours.
2.5 hours for this goddamn show.
Yes.
Fed us. Understand, we have a wrestling podcast. We love professional wrestling. And I walked, quote unquote, out of that show and said, I need nothing more tonight. That was fantastic.
Yes. So for me, here's the thing for me, right? If you're going to have a short card, if you're only going to have 5 matches, then you need to get out of there in 3 hours. Okay?
Yep.
It is no good if you have only have 5 matches, but we're still sitting there for 4 hours. That's no damn good. Okay?
Yep.
Because that means there's going to be a bunch of ads, or they're going to have some talking segment that goes half hour, or just a bunch of ridiculous... Yeah.
Small exceptions can be made, like if this card was the exact same and John and, or Jacob and his crew, or John and Randy went 10 more minutes, 20 more minutes, fine.
Yes.
Because those matches earned it.
Yes.
But, like, this, like, oh, my God, this was so well put together.
Yes, and they just went right to the next thing. And yep. And it was wonderful. And because, again, short card, and okay, get us home early. You know, don't keep us there 4 hours for five matches. And so this was perfectly paced, perfectly timed. It didn't drag. And no, you know, again, we didn't get, you know, a bunch of ads. We didn't get a bunch of video packages for people who weren't on the show. You know, we didn't, like, again, didn't get some goofy talking segment or whatever. You know, they got right to it. They went through everything. Boom, 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 boom. And I thank them for that. I really do.
Well, what's next for Randy?
Well, I mean, I think given the way that the match ended, I think, look, they got one more. They can get one more at them. I mean, look, I mean, John's not going to lose the belt. But if they want to go one more round, sure. Right? I mean, I think they can get one more out of this. But if not, then, well, I mean.
I don't know how many times you can give Randy.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, hang on. They like to talk about Randy as a 14-time champion. Like, don't fucking talk about it, and it won't be a thing. But every single time he comes out.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he could be number 15, and Cena could get, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do all that.
I hope they don't.
No.
I hope they don't. But that's what I worry about with any sort of rematch. I almost hope, that Randy gets waylaid at, you know, in the next 2 weeks. And like, oh, this guy beat the shit out of me, so I'm going to, you know, concentrate on him. It's wrestling. We don't have to actually make it, you know, that complicated.
Yeah, or, you know, or he could just take some time off. I mean, you know.
Yeah, just go back to the ranch or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, because it's just. Yeah, I mean, because we know, like, he's on that kind of schedule where, you know, he doesn't have to be there all year.
He shows up when he wants to.
Well, yeah, because I think mainly, like, he works TV and he works PLEs, and that, you know, but. And yeah, but he kind of comes and goes. I mean, he has his number of dates or whatever, right? So, I mean, he could just take a break, you know, for a little while and maybe come back and do Money in the Bank or something, right? You know, but I don't think you necessarily have to have him go right into something else. At this point, no, I don't think you need to. I mean, but, and I guess now what's next for Cena though? If I mean, I think, well, there is a match with R-Truth somewhere down the line. Just do they do that sooner than later, or do they wait for that, or what do you think?
I think they do that sooner. That's filler.
Yeah.
They might even do that on a Raw or SmackDown match, which is fine. And I'm not trying to be, like, you know, insulting to R-Truth or whatnot, because I think there is something genuinely awesome about John, even if it's a foregone conclusion. Defending his title in this last reign on SmackDown or Raw. But I feel like that's going to be a mid pay-per-view, like, prep that they do the match, and then his actual challenger comes out to defend the honor of R-Truth or whoever, or whatever.
Yeah.
But could you see them doing it at Money in the Bank or, like, you know,
whatever. No.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah, like, I don't. I mean, I think maybe on a Saturday night's main event.
Like, I feel fucking terrible for saying that, because, like, how many times have we put over our truth? Like,
yeah, but
could he main event a fucking Payback or a fucking, you know, Backlash or, you know, like, trying to think of any of the other non-big fours, Bloodlines or some bullshit. Like, yes, R-Truth could main event a B pay-per-view against, you know, John Cena. Maybe it'll happen in Saudi. I don't know.
Yeah. But I do think, you wouldn't have that, like, Money in the Bank or something. They're going to try to have something bigger than that, you know.
Unless there was a cash in. Like, I don't know. Like, but yeah, R-Truth should have some sort of story comeuppance, but, like, conclusion or continuation. Not just, like, oh, he gets put through a table at the post press conference and that's it.
Yeah.
We got to do something more. So. But that is Backlash, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, do you have any other thoughts? The only other thought I had was at one point, Jacob Fatu gave a Samoan drop to, I believe, LA Knight. And he dropped him Samoan drop. Everyone, you understand? You have them. You have a person in a fireman's carry, and you just fall backwards.
Yeah.
Dropped him on the very tippy-top edge of the barricade. And I swear to God, I made a sound that I've never made before when I saw that happen. Just like, that man is the most savage, even by doing, like, non, you know, That move itself would not get, aside from, like, super edited sounds in there, that move would be on a TV PG show. Like, I mean one that's on in, like, 3 p.m. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I felt my soul leave my body when LA Knight's, like, spine or shoulder hit that barricade. Sorry, that was one of the last things I wanted to mention.
Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, that was, yeah, that was, man, that was something else. I mean, it really was.
Nah, man. Jesus. That guy is insane. But also, I would tell everyone to, speaking of the Bloodline, speaking of Jacob, the Bloodline episode of Stephanie's Places, we watched, my wife and I watched that the other night. That was a lot of fun. Talking about, and especially talking about how the Tongans, you know, fit in the family and everything. It's very, very cool. So, if you're at all interested in the Bloodline, check out Stephanie's Places. So, Rob, do you have anything else to tell the people or anything else we want to talk about before we get out of here?
Well, I guess first let's give all our well wishes and thoughts and prayers to JR. He shared the news. He was diagnosed with colon cancer, so let's hope for the best there and for, you know, for swift recovery and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
obviously luminary of the industry and, like,
yeah.
Listen, he's being paid by Tony Khan right now. Tony, I don't think I need to say this because obviously we joke about you and whatnot, but you take care of your people. Take care of that guy.
Yeah. Yes.
But again, I say that saying, like, knowing that that's a thing that's going to happen. Because as much as we joke about that guy, you know, and whatnot, he does take care of his people. So, yeah. But all the best to JR, and we love you, buddy, and please, you know, we love you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we do. And, so finally, okay. Well, by this time next week, one of our two teams will have been eliminated from the NBA playoffs.
The Boston Celtics will be eliminated from the Boston, from the NBA playoffs. We got your lick back. We realized that, wow, you guys have just been really lucky and
lucky.
Because I'm sorry, Rob.
Yes.
You're a math guy.
Yes.
You cannot look at the shooting data, the analytics, the shooting data of everything that happened in the first three games and go, yeah, my team played better. You can't say that.
Oh, no. No, they did not.
Now, I will tell you that, like, the game is the game, and you gotta win. You gotta win four, and shit happens. And I'm not gonna tell you that the Boston Celtics played perfectly in all of those games, but at this point, like, hey man, sometimes the ball rolls your way, and it rolled our way last year. You know, they had some injuries in the playoffs, and some teams were not as strong as they should have been, and we knocked them down. But I'm not gonna give my championship back to anyone. So yeah, the biggest thing is, obviously, you know, if you're not listening, if you're not an NBA fan, Jason Tatum, the best player on the Celtics, you know, went down with an Achilles injury. He will probably be out for at least a year. So we will look forward to the 26-27 season with Jason Tatum. And I'm just in a bad place right now because, well, bad place and a good place. Because, listen, we're not going to win this series. If we do, I'm never going to let Rob forget it.
Oh.
And also, I don't want the narrative. I don't want the fucking narrative of, like, oh, they won without Jason Tatum, blah, 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 blah. Nope. You don't watch ball. You don't know how things work. You don't understand basketball at a fundamental level. So I don't want to have a conversation with you. So, yeah. I'm glad we got a lick back. I'm glad Jalen had a great game. I'm glad. I hope you take it tomorrow. Just two shots in the back of the head, put us out of our misery, let us move back to the rebuild and all this shit, because I do not want them. I mean, the ultimate monkey paw thing here would be them going on to win the title without Jason. Like, that's not going to happen, because I watch basketball and I understand basketball.
Yeah.
You know, as a human being. But, like, that would be the worst thing that could possibly happen. So, you know what? I hope we come back, beat the Knicks. Jalen Brown reminds you who your daddy is. And then we get blown out by Jason's Pacers in the next round.
Well, you know, I'm rooting for us to finish things in game six. And then, yeah, it's going to be total holy war between me and Jace. if we get the Knicks and Pacers in the conference finals. Okay, so are you a lottery tinfoil hat man or not?
So here's the deal. The lottery is not rigged every single year. Once in a while, they just say, yeah, this is what's happening. I'm dead serious, dude. There's no way. I'm sorry. LeBron left the Cavaliers. And the Cavaliers won the lottery or got the second pick every single year while he was gone. And so they drafted Kyrie Irving, and I forget who they did keep, and then
Anthony Bennett, and he stunk.
Anthony Bennett. They drafted, but we didn't know that because we drafted him, they drafted him as the number one pick, and we did. Everyone, they look at him like we're looking at who's the white kid now, like he's going to save basketball.
Oh, Cooper Flagg.
Cooper Flagg.
Yes.
Okay, so yes, the lottery is on rigged. It is goosed once in a while. It's absolutely goosed. Never tell me otherwise. Because, I mean, you just look at the Anthony Davis, leaves New Orleans Pelicans, goes to the Lakers. The Pelicans win the draft. And they draft Zion Anderson and Zion Williamson. And then we have, you know, Luka gets just fucking traded to the Lakers for no fucking reason. Like, no real reason that any actual basketball person could tell me. And I'm sorry, Nico, you're not a basketball person. If you think, my guys ate this dude's lunch because he was fat. My dudes won the finals because Luka was fat. And we ate his lunch. If my team had Luka Doncic on their team, I would walk in with a suicide vest if they ever traded him. Do you understand? Like, because I'm not just a Celtics fan. I watch fucking basketball. So you lay all these things out where the most beneficial team to a trade or to a free agent leaving and signing somewhere else. You look at this and you see the most beneficial things happening to the most media-friendly teams in the league. And continuously, these dumb fuck teams who don't know how to play and don't know how to do anything continually get rewarded. I cannot tell you that it is rigged every single year. But I will laugh in your fucking face if you think that it is straight up. So that's my thoughts on the Luka draft there.
Okay. So, are there some years where it definitely looks really suspect? Yes. And this year was one of them, for sure. Those.
He's gonna tell me that's how numbers work, because
no, okay. The Cleveland picks you're talking about, definitely
3 years in a row, bro.
But also,
but also, the first one, with Anthony, what's his name?
Okay, yes.
Oh no, I'm sorry, with Kyrie.
Yeah, Kyrie. But also the fact that you know.
1.6 chance of getting the number one pick.
Yes.
They weren't even in the actual real lottery, you know?
But also, I was going to say, the fact that... Well, getting LeBron in the first place was sus, okay? I mean, the hometown boy just happens... You happen to get the first pick when, like, the hometown boy, potentially greatest player ever, is going to be the first player chosen.
But hang on, what were their odds?
I don't remember. But they tanked.
I'm saying, like,
but
when you're talking about these Lakers picks and you're talking about these, like, the Luka, you know, the.
Yeah.
This pick that became after the Luka trade for Cooper, they had a 1.6 chance.
How? But.
Again.
Okay.
The first one for the Cavs was brutal. It was like 2.6. The rest of them, we talked about them getting the first or second pick the next couple of years. They were somehow, even after getting what's-his-name, they were worse. And they actually, the odds weren't as terrible. They had a 10% chance or 14% chance or whatever.
Okay, but...
Which even still, doing that in 3 years in a row is like,
But I do have a counter example, though. Of a year that where they absolutely should have put the fix in, and they did not. And 1997, Tim Duncan was the first overall pick. He went to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep.
There was a team that had two lottery picks, a storied franchise that had two lottery picks, and which means you could have given them the number one pick with either one of those picks. Okay. And that team was your Boston Celtics. And Tim Duncan, following in the footsteps of Bill Russell, Dave Cowens, Robert Parrish, makes all the sense in the world in league lore, history, or whatever. And some, but they didn't do it.
And then they needed to keep the expansion team going.
But that at that point, I mean, the Spurs had David Robinson, and they weren't some lowly expansion team by that point, but they could have. I mean, that was a perfect time. they put the fix in for the Celtics because they had two lottery picks. So it's so they had greater odds than everybody, right?
I'm sorry, we're not the big market team.
Oh, stop it.
We have the most championships in NBA history, and we're the winningest team of all time. But people, for some reason, don't want to watch them because Boston sucks. I don't know. But you know what? We don't give a shit.
Oh,
see, we have Jason Tatum, the greatest player of all time.
Oh, here we go.
Stop it. They would never rig it for the Celtics. You know why? Because red. And honestly, this is. I'm now going back. Like, obviously, I'm being ridiculous Celtics fan. But I'm going backwards a little bit. I don't think. By the end of everything, they did not enjoy, by that time, now what, 97? They did not enjoy red. They did not enjoy the past. They did not enjoy, they wanted to move forward at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think I'm not going to wait, get into it and whatnot. But obviously, red went from beloved to... Okay, he's here. In terms of the greater NBA, obviously the Celtics, he's God, and he is God. Praise be to Red. But I don't know. I'm sorry that we're not one of those fancy New York teams.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, my gosh. We gotta go. It's right next to NBA headquarters.
Oh, stop it.
We gotta make sure this team is so good.
The owner,
he's a cool dude.
Stop it. Okay.
His band? Have you seen his band?
No.
Have you seen his band?
No, you know what's really funny? You know what's really funny? Okay, you know what's really funny? Yeah, James Dolan, there's a movie about some people that he may be descended from. And because in the movie Young Guns, the villain was Murphy, and he was part of the Murphy Dolan Santa Fe ring.
Okay. Oh my God.
So,
hey, you know what? Honestly, at that point, I'm glad he turned to music.
No, he stinks. They win in spite of him, and yes, they do. And so he stinks, but put it this way. I mean, yes, they're.
No one else is. I just don't like Carl Anthony Towns. I'm sorry. I Jalen Brunson frustrates me as an opposing fan, and I thought he gets a little cheap shotty once in a blue moon, whatever. He's right on the line of playing physical and being cheap shotty. So when I'm mad, I'm gonna say it's cheap shotty, and when he's playing another team that's Celtics, I'm gonna say, oh, he's playing physical. But Cat, dude, I do not like that guy.
He's frustrating.
Especially when he throws elbows at people's necks and people's heads repeatedly for years and years and years before he's even played for the Knicks, dude. Like, I'm not just hating on him for that. Like,
he's frustrating. He's
safe, dude. And I'm just a fucking old man where I'm like, can we play physical but be safe? Like, and not try to snap somebody's neck or not try to give somebody a concussion. Like, I don't know. I appreciate, and that's the thing that, like, if he was on my team, I'd be trying to justify it. He's physical. He just plays like a winner. But, like, I don't know. He's got, like, 1 foot over that line still. He used to be way worse. I will give him that.
Okay. Well, look, my team used to have Charles Oakley and Anthony Mason, and they were much worse. Okay.
Listen, me, the Celtics, it doesn't matter because the Celtics have the second coming of Luke Kornet. Their second coming of Bill Russell. Who is Luke Kornet?
Luke Kornet?
Seven blocks. Are you fucking kidding me? Seven blocks in that last game. Seven blocks on your boys. White dude, gangly, seven footer. Blocks your dudes, seven shots. That probably influenced 70 more.
Well, didn't you have like, didn't you guys have like Joe Klein? I think wasn't he in the same, yeah. Wasn't he in the same vein? I mean,
I think Luke has a little more ceiling, just because of he is a legitimately decent 3-point shooter, even though they don't have him shoot 3-pointers as much as they should, I should say, for this team, but like. He's just one of those big dudes who does everything. He's like, yeah, all right, I'm good. But he does it without being a jerk.
Okay.
If he goes, he's always going to go up for the block. He's always going to go up for it. He's almost never going to knock your face off.
Oh, okay.
Like, which is ironic considering he busted Jalen Brunson open, Josh Hart. Open,
yeah.
The other day. But, Rob.
Yes.
You saw that replay. That was straight up a basketball play. He was going straight. His arms are going straight up and down. And just as it happened, his arm went straight. His face got a little too close to the elbows, and it just went up.
I guess.
That was amazing. He got busted the fuck open. And then they lost.
Okay, all right, that's enough.
All right.
That's enough of that.
Hey, man,
that's enough of that.
My favorite player, like, in the last, like, 20 years, or 10 years, depending on when KG retired, like, is down for the season, possibly more. So, I'm just trying to cope, brother. Inhale that copium.
I hear you. Yeah, So to that end,
last year when you guys were all busted up, you were in a similar boat.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. Patrick got hurt 1 year, you know, when going into the playoffs.
Last year, right?
And actually, he got hurt. Patrick got hurt when they went to the finals the second time. He got hurt like in game six of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah,
and he missed the whole finals, and that sucked. That sucked. But so I feel your pain on that one, man.
Who was hurt during the Pacers series last year?
Shit, man. Good question. Was it Rand?
It wasn't because that's what honestly I would know because it's thrown at our feet all the time. Oh, Halliburton was hurt, and even when the Pacers beat the Knicks, this guy was hurt, and this guy was hurt, and this guy was hurt. Yeah, well, we fucking won, so fuck you. hey, real quick. What does it say next to 2024 NBA champions? Does it say New York Knicks except for what's his name was injured? No, it doesn't.
No.
Fuck off.
Okay. Anyhow. No, it says y'all got lucky because y'all got to play the fat boy in the finals. That is
yeah.
And cause that.
Well, guess what? Fat boy is good enough to get traded to the Lakers and fucking bury the entire Mavs franchise. Except Adam Silver decided to give them a gift from God. And I'm sorry, I will never pray for injury. I will never pray for anything like that. I pray that Cooper Flagg has the most mediocre fucking career of any NBA player of all time.
Oh man, that's great. That's great.
Hey man, how many NBA, how many sure thing first round picks? You want to go through that, Rob? We could do a whole show on that. Sure thing. This guy is a sure thing. Yep, he's gonna do it. You know who was a sure thing in the 2017 draft? Mikal Bridges. You know what happened? The Celtics said, "We have the number one pick. We're good. We'll trade out of that." We traded back to 3. And we got Jason Tatum. How many championships does Mikal Bridges have? By the way, drafted 2nd, Lonzo Ball, by the Los Angeles Lakers. How many championships Lonzo Ball had?
This guy.
Zero. How many championships?
Okay.
Basically number one.
Okay.
Because he was.
Okay.
He was drafted number one with draft compensation. NBA champion 2024, Jason fucking Tatum.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, everybody. We've had a great time tonight. I'm glad that you all stuck with us.
Good
job. Session for me. And I appreciate you all. Rob.
Yes.
Anything else you want to tell people?
No, I think we've gone far enough here. Okay. So.
Oh, shit, go see Thunderbolts.
Yeah, go see Thunderbolts. Yes, and
All right, let's take five on Thunderbolts. Because people, if you're still with us, you're gonna take five for Thunderbolts.
Yes.
So you know what, Rob and I went to go see Thunderbolts.
Yes.
The last couple of weeks.
Yes.
If you don't know, they are the new Avengers.
Yes.
Because that's what the asterisk means.
Yes.
And I don't feel bad spoiling this for you, because literally after the premiere, the cast walked out to the front hall of whatever theater they were at. They walked up to the Thunderbolts with the asterisk poster on it, and they ripped the Thunderbolts title off, and it said asterisk at the beginning, The New Avengers. I will not say why that happens. I will not tell you what the story is, but the movie is now called The New Avengers. Rob, we actually are probably going to talk about it. So if you haven't seen it, you should probably sign off. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Rob, what did you think of The New Avengers? Just walking out of it.
Okay. I thought the ending was kind of abrupt and a little too clever by half. I did like the movie, and I thought there were a lot of great performances, from Bucky to Yelena to Red Guardian and John Walker and Valentina, whatever her whole name is. I really liked the interplay between each other. You know, that they all had. To me, the ending was just kind of abrupt and a little too clever for me. But other than that,
I think the ending was clever because it was not a Marvel ending. So, what I mean by that is, like, all the jokes are out there. This is like an A24 Marvel movie. But it kind of is. Like, the villain of this movie, if you haven't seen it, is mental health, like, is depression, is anxiety, is whatnot. Because this is a collection of people who are all fucked up, for lack of a better term. So I won't spoil it, because I want our listeners to enjoy it. But, Rob, I will say the ending was abrupt. But the way it happened was, I don't think it's spoiling it. It is. It doesn't have to be. Okay, the big conflict of the movie is Yelena looks at them and goes, like, we are not superheroes. We are, like, none of us can fly. None of us can shoot lasers. None of us are whatever. Yes, we're all super soldiers, but, or most of us. But that doesn't make a team. And that's what Alexi kept saying, you know, Red Guardian. You know, we are a team. We got to be a team. And so what did they do at the end to solve the problem? They became a team. They embraced friendship. They, like, as corny as it sounds, they did it as well as they could have, like, without turning into, like, My Little Pony or something.
I see, friendship is magic, yes.
Yeah, right? Like, they did the friendship is magic thing without rainbows and unicorns and My Little Ponies. They did friendship is magic in tactical gear.
Yeah.
And it fucking ruled because it has some of my favorite characters in it. So, I think, oh my god. Can I take a second?
Yes.
My guy got to fucking show the fuck off in this movie. Bucky, the Winter Soldier Barnes, holy shit. I don't care. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, stop listening now if you don't want it to get spoiled what the asterisk is. But the asterisk of the Thunderbolts is that the Thunderbolts are not the Thunderbolts at the end of the movie. They are the new Avengers. And by the... And Bucky, by God, Barnes is the fucking de facto leader of the Avengers. Based on everything we saw. And so, you know what? I am riding so freaking high right now. Like, this is 1,316 days just starting. This is Roman pinning those boys and be like, yep, this is my title, and we're going to move on into the future. I am so fucking happy. And also, going back to the rest of the crew, they all, like, from the guy who played Bob, who is also Bob in Top Gun Maverick, same character, basically, which I'm just going to believe they are the same character. Dude, that guy killed it. Obviously, Yelena, Florence Pugh killed, who?
Florence.
Oh. I've never actually heard it. So Florence was amazing. And her interactions with Alexi were incredible. And you just watch the interviews after of them, like, talking about it. They are just one big happy family, and, like, this is what we watch television for, guys. So, Rob, I've been going crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I thought, again, I wasn't big on the ending, but I did think the movie was very good.
Friendship is magic, Rob!
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. You gotta throw the nukes through the wormhole, or you gotta drop the city on the fucking people or whatever. No, sometimes just friendship solves problems. It's okay.
Okay, you're right. Okay. But yeah, it was very good, and so definitely go see it. And so now we got, what do we got coming up next? We got Fantastic Four is coming soon. And...
oh my god. Did you hear the Who's On First thing about that?
No.
So, again, if you're still listening, please stop. Because I'm about to talk about the post-credit scene. So, the post-credit scene, where it's, 14 months later, and they are the new Avengers, and they're in their new headquarters with all their gear and whatnot. And so they, get the satellite image. Someone's coming towards Earth from another dimension. What is it? And they look, and on the screen, it's a spaceship, and it turns, and it shows a four. It's a white and blue spaceship, and it says four on the side.
Yeah.
And so it just goes to black, but apparently, when the cameras were rolling, Sebastian Stan, who plays Bucky, turned to Wyatt Russell, who plays John Walker, the U.S. agent, and goes, "What's the four?" And Walker goes, "You mean the four?" It's like, "Yeah, what's the four for?" It's like, "Do you mean the four? Like, or do you ask him what's that?" And they played on the word. Obviously, it wasn't as long as Who's On First, but they were both very disappointed to find out that had not made the final cut. And I pray to Jesus that lives on some bonus footage on YouTube somewhere, because I need to see Wyatt Russell and Sebastian Stan trying to do an ad hoc Who's On First. What's the four for? I need it. So, the movie, 5 stars, 10 out of 10, 11 out of 10 in the Tokyo Dome. Like, please, if you haven't seen it, go see it. And yeah, it was again, even if you you're one of those people who doesn't love the Winter Soldier or any of his friends as much as I love them, like, Marvel got its groove back. Like, yeah. Really, really well. So I'm excited for Doomsday and Fantastic Four and all that. So yeah. We're in for a treat.
Yes. And so with that, we are going to get out of here before we go off on another tangent and spend 30 minutes talking about something else.
Excellent.
All right.
It's been a pleasure. I'm so happy that we did this. We had a great time.
Yes.
DJ, we miss you. We need you to actually get technology to work, and we'll figure that out another day. But, DJ, we love you. Thank you so much. And listeners, we love you. Rob, do you have any last second things to get out to the people to do or watch or look at or whatever over the next week?
No, I do not. Let's get out of here before we're here till midnight.
Excellent. Well, Rob, I would just tell you the last thing.
Yes.
Her name, and don't fucking get it wrong, it's either Val or Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Okay. Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Don't forget the day. She'll kill you.
Yes.
So, Rob, you know what? It's been awesome.
Yes.
We're going to get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a blast. We love you all. Thank you for sticking by us, especially without DJ. But, as you know, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want. But call it in the ring, for God's sake. And we're out of here till next week.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
In honor of Military Appreciation Month, Verizon thought of a lot of different ways we could show our appreciation, like rolling out the red carpet, giving you your own personal marching band, or throwing a bumping shindig. At Verizon, we're doing all that in the form of special military offers. That's why, this month only, we're giving military and veteran families a $200 Verizon gift card and a phone on us, with a select trade-in and a new line on select unlimited plans. Think of it as our way of flying a squadron of jets overhead while launching fireworks. Now that's what we call a celebration, because we're proud to serve you. Visit your local Verizon store to learn more. $200 Verizon gift card requires smartphone purchase, $799.99 or more with new line on eligible plan. Gift card sent within 8 weeks after receipt of claim. Phone offer requires $799.99 purchase with new smartphone line on Unlimited Ultimate or postpaid Unlimited Plus. Minimum plan $80 a month with autopay plus taxes and fees for 36 months. Less $800 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. 0% APR. Trade-in must be from Apple, Google, or Samsung. Trade-in and additional terms apply.